This is Jennifer Hale, and you are listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector. Jeff Rector on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to Out There, the show that focuses on the genres of science fiction, fantasy, and horror. On television, the big screen, the media, and everywhere else in the universe. Sit down in your favorite electric chair, pour yourself a pint of blood, and open your psychic connection because you're connected to Out There. Welcome to another show of Out There, coming to you from LA Talk Radio. Special thanks to our sponsor, 360 Vodka, saving the world one glass at a time, the world's first eco-friendly vodka. Check them out at www.vodka360.com. In the studio with me today, I'm very excited to have Jennifer Hale, voiceover actress, television, movie actress, singer. My gosh, you do everything.
It's good to be here, Jeff. It's really great. And a big hello to everybody listening.
Thank you. Hello. Hello to your Canadian friends. You were born January 30th in Goose Bay, Labrador, Canada.
Yes, that's a misprint, actually. It's January 1st. But I'm good either way. I was born. That's the happy part.
Yeah.
I was Goose Bay, Labrador. Yes, I still have family there. Hi, you guys, if you're ever listening to this. Hello.
Big shout out to Labrador.
That's right.
Not the dog, but the but the city.
That's right.
They were only 29 days off, so I guess that's not too bad.
It's not bad. It's January. They got that right. That's pretty
cool. That could change your astrological chart, I guess.
quite a lot.
Being that far off. Well, you've done a ton of animated features, TV series, and video games. Mm-hmm. You've got a big one coming out this week, as
yes.
a matter of fact.
Yes, Mass Effect 2 is coming out. And that game is such a cool game because the players can play the primary character as either a man or a woman. They can be a male Commander Shepard or a female Commander Shepard. And if they're a female Commander Shepard, be the female.
They be the female.
Me. They will pick me.
And, you want Jennifer. You want the Jennifer Commander Shepard.
Mark's good too, but I like it when people play as female Commander Shepard. It's a blast.
Who's playing the male Commander Shepard?
No. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark. We can't give anything away. You've got to buy the game next week.
That's right.
To find that out.
That's right. We have such a cast, Jeff. You're going to love this. We have such an amazing supporting cast. I mean, first of all, we have our regular supporting cast back, the characters who have come back. I'm not allowed to say which ones are back and which ones aren't, but hello, you guys. Welcome back.
Yeah.
And we have some incredible...
Welcome back.
Exactly. We have some incredible new people in as supporting players, people like Martin Sheen. He has a character on there.
I worked with Martin on Wall Street and Charlie way back when. Mm-hmm. Great guy, terrific actor.
Yeah, really. He does a wonderful job in this game as a really interesting character that my character has very mixed feelings about.
How fun is that to work
great.
With an icon like Martin Sheen?
It was great to hear him, hear him on the game. And from Battlestar Galactica, we have Trisha Helfer and Michael Hogan.
Yeah. Trisha Helfer was number 6.
Yes. And
actually, you said Caprica is going to be the new series on Sci-Fi Channel coming out.
It started Friday. It was awesome. I'm a huge, huge dorky fan of Ron Moore's work. I think he's probably the only person I would ever stalk to work for because he's not the only one, but he's probably the top one right now. I have to say I have huge respect for what he and David Icke have done with that.
Ron, if you're listening, Jennifer Hale wants to work with you.
I work really hard. I'm good at
it. She works really hard, and she's really good. And for those of you, check out Caprica. Just premiered last Friday.
Yes, it did. It did. It's fantastic. I've got it on my DVR right now.
Sorry, back to Mass Effect 2.
We have Carrie Ann Moss from The Matrix.
From The Matrix, Trinity. The female lead on that.
Yep, she plays a wonderfully interesting character. She does a great job with it, too. Just awesome. And we have Claudia Black, who's just one, she's a fantastic actress and such a fun I've only met her a few times, but such a fun, fun person. Just really a kick.
Her and Ben Browder were in the Stargate series, and they worked together before that. And it's amazing that these big-name actors are now doing video games.
Yeah.
They've elevated to that level now where everybody wants to get in on it.
Well, and they're such an enormous part of the culture, and the people work really hard on these things. I know that sounds obvious, but you cannot imagine the sheer volume of work that goes into these. Mass Effect. Mass Effect was, we were probably a year in just the voice recording of it, and Mass Effect 2 probably the same length of time. And that's just the small aspect that is the voice recording. Then there's
give the audience a sort of an ABCs. Is it the voices that are recorded first, and then the animation is created after that?
Primarily, that's how it works. Unless you're doing something like a game I did a few years ago called Onimusha Bereiden, where
say that three times fast.
No, right? Directed by Chris Zimmerman, and we voiced an existing game, a Japanese game. We revoiced it, so we did it to picture. So that was already animated, and then we went in. But usually, 90% of the time, we are doing the voice acting first and then going forward. Unless there are some companies now, I worked on a project like this last year for EA. The project never came to fruition, but there are some companies now that are having you do what they call performance capture, where they'll put you in the suit with all the
dots. Which is what they did for Avatar.
Yeah. Put all the dots on you, and then they capture it, and then they completely change your face or, you know, whatever body needs to be changed to be the image of the character, but it's you delivering the full performance. That's one of my absolute favorite ways to work.
And then it's really much more like being an actress. Because it's your full body movement. It's not just your voice.
Well, that's a funny thing. You should bring that up. That's a common thing people say about voice acting is that it's not like regular acting. But in fact, it's actually regular. People don't know this. It's regular acting on steroids because you don't have the benefit of the environment around you.
Right.
You don't have the benefit of the other actors to work with 90% of the time. You're alone in a room that is a soundproof room, much like this. And there's someone on the other side of the glass giving you direction and guidance and saying, go. It has to all be in your imagination. You have to create everything. So it really is kind of acting on steroids.
It really is much tougher, as voiceover actors know, because we don't see their face. Everything's the enunciation, everything, the emotions, it all has to come through the voice. Like you say, you don't have the benefit of costumes and props and other things that sort of help you get in, in that character in that zone.
But that's one of the things that has come a long way in video games too, is that the visuals have gotten so strong and so good that whereas like 8 years ago we had to kind of push the acting a little bit and slightly over the top, you know. Somewhere in that neighborhood.
I'm evil.
Yeah, there you go. Just to sell it, because the visuals are getting so strong, we can now lay back more and we can really just be there in the scene doing what's going on and be as honest as we possibly can. Not that we weren't honest before, but we don't have to embellish much at all now because the visuals carry it.
So be sure and get Mass Effect 2 coming out this week.
Please.
And be sure and pick the female Commander Shepard.
Yes, female Commander Shepard. Woo!
Woo! Also recently released another big video game, Brutal Legend.
Yeah.
Opposite the great comedic actor Jack Black.
Yeah, gosh, he was so great in that game.
He's crazy, isn't he?
Yeah, he's crazy. And it was written by one of the best game writers out there, Tim Schafer. And Chris Brown directed, and she did a phenomenal job. And it was just, God, it was so great. It's such a great story. And it's perfect for Jack Black. You know, it's a roadie, and it's a roadie who gets superpowers. And that's probably all I'll say about it. If you want to know more, go buy the game. But it was just such a great job to work on. The concept was great. It was fun. It had just enough tongue-in-cheek and yet just enough real-life pain to be the perfect, perfect balance.
I met Jack at one of the Playboy Mansion parties, and I was like, hey, Jack, nice to meet you. He's like, hey, man, how you doing? And he's exactly like he is in person, as he is on the screen, just larger than life and just a really nice guy.
Yeah.
And funny.
Very funny.
He
very funny.
You are no stranger to superheroes.
No.
I think you've been in every single superhero animated cartoon or feature out there, from Spider-Man
Yeah.
Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Superman.
Mm-hmm.
How cool is that?
Iron Man. Yeah.
Iron Man. Iron Man.
Wolverine and the X-Men, actually.
Wolverine and the X-Men.
That was on last year. I don't know if it's going to come back or not. I got to be a really great opportunity. I got to be Jean Grey in that one, actually opposite Nolan North. And we had Kari Wahlgren as Emma Frost and Steve Bloom as Wolverine, one of the best voice, you know, just sounds out there. Just such a beautiful voice that guy has and so talented. Yeah, playing Jean Grey was so cool. It was very, very cool. And it, the way, again, the style of it was coming back into home, back into that more film acting thing that was so great.
Well, it's becoming more and more real and less cartoony.
I like that, too. I mean, I
do, too. And the animation is becoming a little more adult and much more sophisticated and movie-like.
Yeah, which is so great. I mean, not that I don't love the over-the-top stuff like Tom Warburton's Codename Kids Next Door and Powerpuff Girls, all that stuff. Playing in those shows, I played, talk about over-the-top, I played pretty much over the top, over the wall, gone across the field, crazy people. And that was
over the
really,
hill and far away, crazy.
So crazy, so crazy. They Powerpuff Girls, they used to start to write these rants for me that were like, you know, a page or two long straight of just my character screaming and complaining and just raising holy, you know what? It was crazy.
Give us a little of the Powerpuff.
Let's see.
Daddy, I want to be a Powerpuff Girl, but they didn't let me! I was Santa Claus!
You know, that was one of the characters.
At the time, you couldn't even understand.
I know, exactly.
She's just, like, screeching.
Screaming. Exactly. And then I had a crazy Irish character in Codenames Kids Next Door. She was an over-the-top kind of bad Irish. Like, she's Irish. I can't remember any of her dialogue, though. She was...
How many accents? How many different accents? You do French? Because, obviously, you
speak French, although it's
speak
quite
French,
rusty
now. Canadian French?
Yeah, well, no, I speak actually Parisian French. I grew up mostly in the States, and my teacher for 5 years was had studied in Paris, and so I have that whole Parisian thing, but it's really bad now because it's rusty. I've forgotten half of my vocabulary.
They must love you in Paris, though.
Oh, God. I don't know about that, but I've started to learn Spanish, and now when I try to speak Spanish, then my French comes out, and people start looking at me like, what? I'm speaking a combination of Spanish, French, and English. Yeah, that's going to work really well. So
Spanish-French. What?
Exactly, Spanish-French.
Kind of starts to cross, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. It really does.
Your star meter is up 16% in popularity this week.
I didn't know I had a star meter. That's very cool.
Yes, as my listeners know, I refer to the IMDb database. Mm-hmm. IMDb.com is the best place to look up your favorite actor, actress,
it's the only way
producer,
I remember what I've done.
Director. Yeah, you look back, you go, I did that?
People are like, did you work on this? I'm like, I don't know. Let me look it up. I don't know.
That's funny. But yeah, it's got a star meter, which tells you your popularity, and you're up 16%
wow,
this week.
Wow, that's exciting. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, that's thank the fans out there. Probably.
Thanks, fans.
Which you should shoot up even more when Mass Effect 2.
Oh, that would be great. That
comes
would be
out.
Really great. Yeah, I think part of that might be Metal Gear coming out last year, and Naomi Hunter was a very, very popular character on there. I've talked to a couple people who actually don't realize that I'm the Ophelia character in Brutal Legend, which is actually really great to hear because I like to mix it up and sound different. But Naomi Hunter would be more identifiable. That would make sense. That's great. Yay, thanks,
looking in your credits, you did the Johnny Quest series. You know what? I grew up with that series as a kid, and that was really the first cartoon that was adult-themed with monsters and aliens and all kinds of cool stuff. And that's I love that show.
Yeah.
And, of course, as years went on, it was so popular that they've done different incarnations.
And that was one of the later incarnations.
Yes.
The original.
Just,
I think I would have been too.
She's very young, folks. You can't see her, but she's very young. The Adventures of Johnny Quest?
Mm-hmm. The New Adventures of Johnny Quest.
And what
the Real Adventures of
you
Johnny
played
Quest.
Race Bannon's...
Daughter Jessie.
Daughter Jessie.
Jessie Bannon. Mm-hmm.
Which is really interesting because in the original Johnny Quest, Dr. Quest, he had lost his wife, and he was a single father, the scientist that raises Johnny Quest. Race Bannon is sort of the James Bond kind of bodyguard action hero,
right.
And he never had a love interest, they kind of alluded that he, you know, was an adventurer.
Right, but it was...
And so now he's got a daughter. How did
right.
that happen?
It happened through the creativity of that production team, and I'm grateful. I am grateful. I love that job. That was fun.
Do we know who the mother is?
No, we're not talking.
We're not talking. Actually, in the original series, Jade was an Asian sort mm-hmm. of an agent that that was alluded to be a love interest mm-hmm. of Race Bannon, but there's no Asian in there,
nope.
so I guess
nope.
it was...
Jesse is a mystery.
Guess it wasn't
and
Jade.
And will remain so. Speaking of sort of callbacks like that, I was working on Batman a couple of weeks ago. There was a scene, a flashback scene, to when Batman lost his parents, and Adam West came in and played Batman's father.
Oh, that's yeah, fantastic. I love
really,
Adam.
Really cool.
We've done a lot of the autograph signing shows over the years. Just a great guy. And even today, he gets a lot of jobs sort of parodying himself in Batman, which I think is great. He's got a great sense of humor.
He has a great sense of humor, yeah. Yeah, he does.
That's great.
Yeah.
Love the man. Mm-hmm. So who did the voice for Race Bannon in your series?
I'm trying to remember, because it's been a while, if it was Sandy or John. Because John DeLancey worked on that series.
John DeLancey, of course, from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Right,
terrific
right.
character actor. Who was Johnny?
Johnny was Quentin Flynn.
You may not know this, and for those of you, a little Johnny Quest trivia. Do you know who played the original Johnny Quest?
I do not.
Tim Matheson.
Really?
From Animal House, and
wow.
Started out as a child actor and
wow.
did a lot of those Disney movies, and now he's writing, directing, and producing. Just a terrific actor, yes.
That's great.
Tim Matheson was the original Johnny Quest.
Isn't that funny? How many of those child stars go on to do other jobs? And I mean, obviously the biggest one's Ron Howard.
We were talking about the some of the other superheroes you played. Catwoman? Some of the villainesses you've played.
Silver Sable in Ultimate Spider-Man game. You know, it's sort of like I play a lot of bad guys in video games and only occasionally in animated shows. Although there's a show that I had where... called Totally Spies, where I played one of the lead girls, Sam, and then I also played one of the constant pains in their, you know, well, thorns in their side, pains in their butt, Mandy. So I got to play a good character and a bad character every week, and I would sometimes argue with myself, which was really, really fun.
I love it.
Happen. Yeah, yeah. It was great. It was confusing in moments, but yeah. See, Silver
I'm taking
Sable.
You out. No, I'm taking you out.
That's right.
No, you're going down.
Wait, where am I?
Where am I?
Yeah, and then
I'm fighting myself.
Exactly. One of my characters that just won some kind of popularity poll, Bass de Lashan from Knights of the Old Republic. It's a Star Wars game. She had a good side and a bad side. There was good Bastila and bad Bastila, and you could play either one.
That's fun.
Yeah, it was fun. It was really fun.
I mean, and that's what's great about being a voice actress for these games is you can play multiple characters mm-hmm. in the same game, which, of course, you never could do on camera.
Never, and you're expected to, actually. That's kind of how I got past when I very first started. I could only do my voice younger, and a valley girl. That's all I could do. And then every week they hand you an incidental, like, you're boy number four. I'm like, I'm what? And you better step up and
you
do
better
it.
You better step up and do it.
And, you know, we wouldn't fit in the room. If they tried to cast every single part, it would be inefficient, and we wouldn't all fit in there. And it's great for us. I mean, the talent these guys have that I work with, it's unbelievable. The Frank Welkers, the Rob Paulsons, the Gray Delisles, the, you know, the casts you see in Trust Meal. And
these guys have hundreds of voices. I mean, one guy could do a whole cartoon if they really wanted to, push come to shove.
If you're talking about Frank Welker or Dee Baker, they can do a herd of elephants or, you know, a room full of crickets and make you believe that that's what was around the corner.
Yeah.
You would never... I mean, a friend of mine was directing Frank once in an episode of a cartoon at Hanna-Barbera, back when they were still recording over there, and she was a mom and a baby elephant, and they were like in distress, and she said she was watching him make the noises, but it was still bringing tears to her eyes because the sounds were so right on. It was moving her to tears because he's just so flipping good at it.
It's crazy how good these guys are.
Yeah.
And going back to Johnny Quest, there's several episodes where back in those days, they were doing the same thing. The gentleman did the Race Bannon voice, mm-hmm. would be a pilot,
right.
and he'd be a soldier.
Right.
He'd be all these But it was still Race Bannon. I mean, he really didn't change his voice that much. It's like, hey, isn't that Race Bannon?
Yeah.
And they did that, but these days, these guys are so good. I mean, they could do 20 voices, and you'd never know it was the same person.
They expect more out of you. I had a job once where I was handed 5 women, all between ages of 20 and 40, and your voice doesn't change a lot then, and only one could have an accent, and they had to all sound different. And I went running over to Pat Fraley's house. He's a great voice actor.
Help me!
How do I do this? And he gave me some great tools. So
that's great. We talked about Justice League a little while ago. Talk is live-action Justice League movie, which is very exciting.
I know.
It's Batman, Superman, Flash.
Mm-hmm. X-Men.
X-Men.
Had X-Men and
Iron Man too.
Iron Man as well. They're all
How crazy
out.
Is
know,
that? Is that going to be...
They're hitting Saturday morning up for all their content.
They're hitting
now.
Saturday morning up. In fact, the last word I heard, George Miller, who directed the Road Warrior films, is developing it or has been tapped to direct that. He's a terrific director, so I can only imagine how exciting that would be. The only difficult thing, and some of the controversy, is you've got Batman, you've got Superman.
Yeah.
Obviously, Christian Bale, who's been playing the Batman, you know, is he going to play Batman in the Justice League? Are they going to get someone else? Because it's not really a starring role. Right. Anymore because it's a supporting group cast of characters.
Well, things are kind of moving that way. I mean, I was just thinking about it when you were saying that, and I was thinking they better bring Dave Hayter in for a write on that because he's sort of the genius of, you know, translating those things to the big screen. And I was thinking about, that made me think of Watchmen, which was his, he wrote that. He wrote that original screenplay off out of the graphic novel series. And that's kind of how, I mean, yeah, you have your Iron Man and your Batman, et cetera, where you've got a single star, but there's a lot of that ensemble stuff like Watchmen coming along, X-Men. You know, you got a whole bunch of stars in it, and people don't think they...
And I think the idea is, like Hugh Jackman, now they're spinning off the X-Men, the X-Men Origins series, where now Wolverine has his own movie.
Right.
And I think they're going to start spinning off these other X-Men characters to have their own movies, and it's the perfect setup.
Mm-hmm.
Or you start with the Justice League, and then the Flash gets his own movie or
Green
whatever.
Lantern
it's
universe.
A great setup. It's all cross promotion, and it's all Warner Brothers. So it's keep it in the family.
We own it. We can do whatever we want with it. Yeah.
I got cast as the lead in a vampire film called Nightfall. We were shooting in Salt Lake City. I was the lead detective.
You were shooting a vampire movie in Salt Lake City?
I know. It's Mormon town. Yeah, it's a little...
shooting a very dark movie in a very light place.
Yes, it was very odd. But I needed a couple of... I'm the L.A. detective that comes into Salt Lake to solve the crime, and there are 2 Salt Lake detectives that I sort of pal up with, and they had trouble casting one, so I suggested my friend, David Hayter, and they said, oh, yeah, he's great, and David auditioned, and he got the part.
Oh, that's great.
And then years later, I run into him at Comic-Con after, with...
X-Men
came out, and it's like written by David Hayter, and I go... Mm-hmm. Are you the guy? He goes,
Yes, I'm the guy. He's the guy.
So actually, he started out as an actor, very, very talented actor, and now he's one of the hottest screenwriters in town.
We met actually when he played Captain America on Spider-Man, and I was playing Felicia Hardy, the Black Cat, and we became buds back then. And I've known Dave since mid-90s.
Yeah. That's right. So David Hayter, if you're listening, just remember who got you that part in Nightfall. Back
he remembers. Dave remembers
Time for payback, bud.
No, he remembers everything. He does everything he can. He's so generous to the people.
Shout out to David Hayter out there. That's so funny you mentioned his name.
He's super talented. Yeah.
He's really good. Another show you did, Avatar.
Yes.
The Last Airbender.
Junko Zane. Yeah. Yeah, that was a really fun character. She was a bit of a cowboy, kind of an anti-hero, lived outside the norm, if you will. Kind of a bounty hunter. And great, fun part.
And look at the success the Avatar the feature is having right now. It's breaking all kinds of records. It's
going to
top Titanic. James Cameron, of course, just won for Best Director.
Yeah.
And it won 2 Golden Globe Awards.
Yeah.
Shout out to James Cameron out there. Certainly one of my favorite sci-fi directors.
It's a beautiful movie. You have to see it in 3D IMAX.
You've got to see it in 3D IMAX. It's the only way. It's such a big picture. And, you know, they take the trouble to shoot it in 3D. Why would you see it?
No. Why would they even bother to offer it in anything else?
Any other way.
And I have to say, I mean, the acting in that was just like Zoe Saldana. I mean, I'm already a fan of hers, but man, she just kicked it all the way home. It was beautiful.
She played Uhura in the new Star Trek movie,
did.
The J.J. Abrams film, which actually, for those of you who don't know, Avatar was about a 4.5 year in the making movie to get to the big screen. Mm-hmm. 4.5 years. And halfway through that process, she did Star Trek.
Oh, wow.
So she got this other major sci-fi movie, which came out before the one she started 2 years before that.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah, that's so cool, though. So cool. It's so cool that they let her do that, because sometimes they won't let you do that. They're like, no, you're on our schedule. You're on our insurance for this 4 years.
it's happened before where actors have gotten offered major roles and had to turn it down because they were contracted. They were bound by a contract with another studio.
Yep.
We're going to take a quick break now from our sponsor, 360 Vodka. Saving the world one glass at a time. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Jennifer Hale right after this.
Introducing an eco-friendly first, 360 Vodka. It's quadruple distilled and 5 times filtered. Design and production exhibit the highest degree of sustainability. It is the evolution of vodka. 360, the world's first eco-friendly premium vodka. Saving the planet. One glass at a time.
360 Vodka, distilled from grain, 40% alcohol by volume. Earth-friendly distilling company in Weston, Missouri.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway announcement.
Do you have troubled skin? Acne? Well, against the better judgment of our management team, we're going to prove to you once and for all that Proactiv works. So if you want to try it, give us a call, because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv and receive our legendary refining face mask free if you call right now.
You heard it. Be one of the first callers and you'll receive a 60-day trial of Proactiv Solution risk-free, plus a free refining face mask when you call 1-800-762-6906.
Proactiv's combination therapy system uses prescription-grade acne medicine and soothing spa-quality botanicals to create a powerful acne-fighting system. It's so effective, it transforms blemishes and bumps into clear, smooth skin.
You can have beautiful, healthy-looking skin. Put us to the test, and we'll prove it. Get your risk-free 60-day trial plus a free refining face mask. Call toll-free now, 1-800-762-6906. That's 1-800-762-6906.
Hey, this is Elaine Hendricks.
This is Mr. Haney.
This is Eric Estrada.
Hello, this is Irwin Keyes.
This is Krista Campbell.
Hi, I'm Megan Frenich.
I'm Tora Massimuni.
This is Ed Douglas from Midnight Syndicate.
Hi, I'm Miss Limelight.
This is Jamie Mann.
You're listening to Out There.
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 You are listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
Jeff Rector.
You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector on LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Out There with Jeff Rector.
Jeff Rector
on LA Talk Radio.
We're back in the studio with the fantastic Jennifer Hale.
Hey, everybody.
Actress, voice artist. And singer.
Yes.
Tell us about do you write your own songs? Write your own music?
Yeah, I do write my own stuff. It's funny. I started singing in clubs when I was like 15 with a band, really loud band. And I of course lied about my age, and since I was, sorry guys, probably the most mature one of the bunch, I pulled it off and just kept singing after that. I've done some singing for like Rhino Records for some Scooby-Doo stuff and things like that, and then I've
Scooby-Doo.
Exactly.
Ruh-roh.
Exactly. And
and you've done a lot of the Scooby-Doo shows as well.
Yeah, it's really fun. We've got a kind of a band going with me and Jane Wadlin and Kimberly Brooks. We're the Hex Girls, and I'm the lead singer, and they're my keyboard players, guitar players, and perhaps even bass. I haven't really gotten that straight yet, but and they sing as well, and it's really fun.
That's so cool. Yeah, so where can we hear your music?
Oh my gosh, right now I'm completely lame and I got nothing available, but I keep threatening to record like these 10 songs that I have. That someday I will. I'll throw them up on my website, and then you can hear them. Yeah.
Speaking of website, you can check out Jennifer Hale and all the cool stuff she's involved with. www.jenniferhale.com.
Yep.
Check it out. You can listen to her voice reels and all kinds of kinds of fun, cool stuff on there. In fact, there's I at the end of one of your promos, there's that little sound bite.
Oh,
from the Hex Girls.
Yes, the singing bite. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
demo,
kind of a cool little tune.
Oh my gosh, that demo is
catchy.
Like 8 years old. It's 10 years. It's so bad. It's so old. I gotta get off my butt and get that thing fixed. But I'm just so busy.
Oh, get the
I'm
new CD
the
done.
I know. Actually, I love.
We want to hear
the
Hex Girls CD.
The Hex Girls songs were really fun. We just recorded some other ones. Gray Delisle, actually, she plays Daphne on the Scooby-Doo series now, and after the late Mary Kay Bergman no longer did that role, but she sang in the last set of singing sessions we did. She's a wonderful singer as well.
Checking out some of your other credits, you've done the comic book characters.
Yeah.
You've done sci-fi, Metal Gear,
yeah,
which has done very well.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Yeah. Love Star Wars.
Talk
Love
about
it.
the series.
Oh, man. Clone Wars is really fun. It's really fun to be able to voice Ayla Sakura because she's been in the features. She's been in the live-action stuff, but you never...
Did you do the feature?
No. No,
okay.
But you've never heard her talk, and so for the first time this year, they brought her in with a speaking voice and made her sort of a French resistance kind of a girl. You know, one of
a
those
French songs. Fighter.
French fighter. She knows what she is doing. And it's really, really fun. I mean, Dave and Jen and the whole team from LucasArts, they're a blast. And Dave Filoni, he's like an encyclopedia of all things Star Wars. You're in a session, and if you have the slightest blank look on your face for a moment when he's giving you the full background of what you're doing, boom, he's gone. He knows exactly what to tell you. He knows exactly all this, everything about that mythology. It's phenomenal.
You get to record up at Skywalker Ranch?
No, I wish we did. Dee Baker's been up there. Dee, super jealous of you. We record at LA Studios here in LA. Yeah, because I know it's really hard to get a couple days off though, just to traipse up to Skywalker Ranch. You know?
I have friends up there, composers that have worked, and it's just supposedly really incredible.
Oh man,
awesome!
What a great environment, you know? Can you imagine?
Well, speaking of Star Wars, the Clone Wars, I had the composer Kevin Kiner is a guest on my show in the past, and I actually have a couple of musical bites from that. If you wanna. You want
to
give it a listen?
Roll it. Let's hear it.
This is Kevin Kiner's music from Star Wars, Clone Wars.
Awesome.
You can just feel the action, can't you?
You know,
the battle cruisers.
Kidding. All the action stuff has the best soundtracks ever. Yeah.
The music is just fantastic. Of course, John Williams created the original music for Star Wars. But I'll tell you, this stuff is great.
Totally honors it. I'll never forget the first time first cartoon series I ever did. They showed us like a preview of an episode without music and without all the sound sweetening. And I was like, really?
Yeah.
And then I saw it with the music and the sound and the sound effects. I was like, oh, okay, that looks like a real show.
Yeah, no.
It's amazing the difference that stuff makes. Sound editing and the contribution sound is so underrated.
And we've talked about this in the past. I've seen really good movies with not so great music.
Yeah.
And it brings it down. It does. And I've seen crappy movies with good music that elevate it and make it good.
And you cannot.
That's crazy.
Yeah, you can't talk about like TV shows music without talking about Barry McCreary from the Battlestar stuff.
Oh yeah,
oh,
sure.
Gosh, I've been searching for that soundtrack and I can't find it. I will pay. I will pay whatever. I want that music.
We'll talk afterwards. Okay. I know a lot of people, and just might be able to hook you up.
I love that. I love that music.
Yeah, it's just so powerful, and especially a series like Ron Moore's Galactica that just really, really, really brings it alive.
Phenomenal.
As we mentioned, Caprica just premiered on Friday.
Yep.
I've got a movie of my own coming out on Sci-Fi.
Do you? What is it?
It's called Dino Croc versus Super Gator.
Nice. That sounds like an effects bonanza.
I play the scientist that creates this rapid growth serum.
See, now I thought you were going to be the Super Gator.
I get eaten by the Super Gator.
Oh, no. You just gave it away.
Actually, yes. Well,
you just gave it away. Well, good.
Everybody gets eaten in the movie. So
Dino Croc versus Super Gator.
David Carradine's last movie, actually.
Oh, I worked with him. He had the most gorgeous dogs. Did he bring those dogs to the set at all?
I didn't get to meet him, unfortunately. He had already shot out before I got eaten.
Dino Croc versus Super Gator.
On Sci-Fi. We've got one more track from Star Wars, Clone Wars. Let's hear another cue from composer Kevin Kiner.
Go, Kevin.
I love that.
Beautiful.
That is so cool.
Beautifully
and
done.
Tell everyone again the character. The Resistance Fighter.
Oh, yes. Ayla Secura. And also Senator Tucci, but she's also from the Clone Wars series.
We were talking about the Powderpuff Girls earlier.
Villains. Villains galore.
Villains. Give us the... give us the girl...
Princess Morva. Give
us the girl and the baby, and then give us the evil.
Ah, yes. So let's see. First, we have crazy Princess Morbox. And she's, Daddy, I want to be a Powerpuff Girl, but they said I couldn't. A naughty list? No, I am not Santa Claus. That's Princess Morbox. And then there was their lovely stepmother, Sedusa, who's, whenever their father was around, the professor, she was, oh, Professor, it's lovely to see you. And as soon as he was gone, she would say to the girls, and it is that kind of thing that is going to change around here. She was the quintessential evil stepmother.
Yeah, she laid the law down, didn't she?
She did, whatever law that was.
The law according to Sedusa,
exactly,
I guess.
Exactly.
Sedusa's law. Jennifer, we're almost out of time. What a great thrill and privilege.
Thank you, Jeff.
It has been to have you in the studio. It's great to see you as always.
You too. It's been lovely to be here. Thank you so much.
What do you want to tell the fans out there?
I want to tell the fans, thank you. Thank you for being fans. Thank you for watching, for listening, for playing, for all that. And anyone who's motivated to, feel free to send BioWare a quick note going, hey, let's see more of female Commander Shepard. But thanks, you guys. Be safe, have fun, and go for it.
Thank you so much. Any encouragement to any voice actors out there? What should they do?
Remember that it's a business, that you better bring your best game to the game, that no one owes you anything. Run it like a business. Be smart about it and work hard.
It's show business.
It is.
We forget. Jennifer Hale, thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff.
For joining us. And thank you for listening on Out There.
Out There.